Hello and welcome to episode 66 of the Pop Pop a Napcast. I'm your host, TJ Deitch. If you're missing the adorable intro by my daughter, Lucy, that has run in front of the last few episodes, well, had a bit of a technical snafu here on my end, and I don't have time to go back, find the file, and add it in. So, what that means is I will either make sure it's in the next one or have her record another one and see if she still has it. I hope everyone had a good weekend. Ours was interesting. We didn't do too much after three parent visit weekends in a row. We just kind of took it easy. It's been super nice here weather-wise. Warm, though, in the 80s. So we tried to get out with Lucy and run around a little bit, but we're still concerned to an extent about Jack and how much he can be outside and around other people. So we did take it easy. Plus, another thing that's been going on lately is that the kids haven't been sleeping too well. Jack went through a growth spurt that felt like it took almost all of last week. Only in the past couple days would I say that he's kind of back to quote-unquote normal. I mean, we haven't been around him so long that we really know what normal is yet, but he was doing pretty well the past few days. But before that, he was just very cranky. He wanted to eat all the time. He was having a lot of spit up. And these things just kind of made for a pretty harried experience for my wife and I. In addition to that, Lucy, I think I mentioned this last week, has been getting up really early, between like 5:30 and 6:30 early. Now, the funny thing is, when I was in college, I would, you know, like a lot of English majors, I would imagine, I tried to schedule my classes so that I could sleep in as late as possible, which is not hard when you're dealing with a bunch of English professors, because they're just you in like 20, 30 years, so they're along the same kind of lines. But when I would work at the bagel place back home, I would actually prefer to have the early shifts. And we're talking the 6:30 or the 7 shifts because I liked staying busy. And the problem with any shift after that that wasn't a closing one was that you would wind up just standing around a lot and doing nothing. When you were the first person in at 6:30 or the second person in at 7, along with the manager who had been there with the baker since 5:30, there was a set number of things that you had to do before the store opened at 8. You know, it was nice and quiet, you got things done, you could talk if you wanted to, but it was just a lot of, like, cleaning and slicing and getting things ready for the day. Kind of mise en place, but on a larger scale, and with bigger pieces of, you know, lettuce and tomatoes and onions and all that kind of stuff. And then you had your morning, which was a little bit slow, sometimes busy, and then there was a lull between breakfast and lunch, usually, and then lunch was pretty much busy, busy, busy. After that, there was some more cleaning, and then you could go. So there was a part of my life where I was getting up fairly regularly at that time. I told my boss, who was very good about scheduling, you know, I told her, hey, Sherry, if you need somebody to come in at that time, I can be that person because I don't mind. You know, I'm going to show up, which, you know, could be a problem for some people. And I'll just get this done. And then, you know, whoever came in first got the opportunity to leave first if they wanted to. So if it was super slow and they didn't need you anymore, you could bounce, which I appreciated. But the difference between that and this is that, for one thing, I got used to that. And the second thing is that it did not happen every single day. I had a few days to relax and sleep in and kind of do whatever I wanted, or nap when I got home, which was also pretty common. And in this case, it's been almost every day for about 2 weeks now that she's been getting up that early. And it's just been tough because, you know, I'm trying not to stay up that late. And frankly, I can't. I can't even really watch a movie anymore. Like, after Em goes to bed at 11, she'll go to bed earlier when she goes back to work, like, full time. But still, it's just tough. By midnight, I'm wiped. And so the kid wakes up between 5:30 and 6:30. It's not a lot of sleep. Part of that's me doing that to myself. I do go to bed earlier if I am tired, but I'm not the kind of person who can just sit in bed and try to go to sleep. I've got to be tired. So basically, I'm just tired a lot. Sometimes I'm able to get Lucy to hop in bed and lay down with us. Now, I know I talked for a while about how we were trying to get her away from that habit. We tried, and she's actually doing a pretty good job, but it does become very tight once Jack is in the bed feeding at those times. When Lucy was a baby, after she got to a certain age, she would sometimes sleep between us for a while, the co-sleeping thing. But we also have a cradle right next to the bed that we use that I really love. It's a Fisher-Price. It's called the Easy Fold. It's just a yellow one because we went with neutral colors. And it's a super simple, almost hammock-like structure that can fold up and you can take it with you. And since we don't have a lot of space in our place right now, that's great. And at least when Lucy was little, we would travel a little bit more. And that was very good for us. But he hasn't actually been sleeping in the bed because he's too little. So, but she will, and then it's just, she's big, and I feel big, and it's just too many people in a queen-size bed. And it's a good-sized bed, plus you got the cat. So the whole thing can get a little tricky. A lot of times what I'll do is, if it's still really early, like 6 o'clock, I'll just kind of get up, and I will go lay down on the couch. I'll set her up with whatever food and she wants to eat or cartoon she wants to watch, and I will just kind of doze on the couch. That works out pretty well for the most part, and since, you know, my work doesn't necessarily start at a specific time, it's okay if, you know, I do doze for a little bit longer. But it's just been a really tiring week, and especially because we didn't really get a break. One of the many nice things about having the parents visit is that they offer like another set of eyes or hands and can take one of the kids away. Like when Em's parents were here the last time, they took Lucy to the playground for a while, and so we just hung out with Jack and kind of relaxed ourselves. So it's just tricky. I mean, and we'll really see how it goes once Em is back to work full time. The thing that I'm a little bit worried about, I've been joking with her that Jack just doesn't like me, and I know that's not true. He just doesn't care about anyone, really, that's not her, because she has the milk, which is fine and understandable, especially when he's going through a growth spurt, which, in addition to just needing more energy, you know, he's having growing pains, so, like, his bones and muscles are moving and contorting and all these things, so that's not exactly the most comfortable situation to be in, so I get it, but we've had a couple less than great experiences just with him and I. On Friday, I got my work done, and as I was kind of wrapping up, Em took Lucy to pick strawberries at like a local farm that also does apples and all kinds of stuff. So it was just Jack and I, and since I was done with my work, I decided to clean up my closet, because basically the closet in our room is mine. There's another closet in Lucy's room that's Em's, it's bigger. And then we've got an armoire in our bedroom that Em also uses, but my closet just kind of becomes like a repository for things. And I don't always hang my clothes up right away, so they'll just kind of go in there, and that's where my comic books that I haven't read yet go, and all this stuff. So it's kind of messy, and my guitars are in there, so it's kind of a multi-purpose mini room that gets used for a lot of different things. And I let it pile up, and then I'll clean it. So that's what I was doing on Friday. And I had Jack in his bed, because we're in the bedroom, obviously, and he did okay for like 10-15 minutes. If you follow me on Twitter, I'm at Papadietsch, that's Poppadietsch. You might have seen the picture that I sent out that was like, I miss my wizard friends today, but this new friend of mine's pretty cool, or something like that. A lot of people liked it, and all that, because he looks super cute. But not long after that, he started getting mad. And I would be able to kind of pick him up and set him down in his bouncy chair, and that would work for a little bit, and then you'd get mad again. And the thing that happens is that since Em's not pumping yet, since she's feeding him, the milk in the freezer from when she was pumping when he was in the hospital is like, you know, it's liquid gold, basically. You know, we don't want anything to happen to it, and we don't want to waste any of it. So while I know how to handle, you know, bottle feeding a baby when it's the thing that's done all the time, it's much trickier when you're trying to conserve and not thaw out too fast when, you know, the mom is around. And that was something that I was running into. At some point during the week, Em and Lucy ran out for something, and I had Jack again. He freaked out, and it was time to eat. This was during the growth spurt period, so he was mad right away. And I got the bottle going, and I mean, they're frozen solid. They're in these, like, tubes that hooked up right to the breast pump, I think, which were fine. We actually didn't know that they froze all the milk in those at the hospital. We were kind of hoping that it would still be refrigerated and we could bring our cooler and bring it home and then put it in like the thin bags that we use, because the problem with the thicker plastic is that they don't warm up very quickly, and so it takes a while. I mean, we've got this little bowl that we put it in, and in an effort to make it thaw out. But, I mean, when you're used to this and you have a process, you have one out in the fridge, probably, that's thawing. And so when the baby's hungry, you pop it in a bottle, or you've already got it in a bottle, depending on how efficient you are. And then you give it to them, and then you move on to the next one and just kind of keep it going, still conserving as much as possible. But, you know, you wind up having a pretty good sense of the cycle. In this case, it was just like, I gotta do it now. And so I'm putting hot water in there and it's soaking and he's freaking out. And when he, you know, he does that baby red face screaming thing. And then he starts snorting like a piggy, which is disconcerting to say the least. And the whole thing is just like, I gotta get this done. It's one of those situations where, like, I mean, I know it has nothing to do with me or anything like that, but it's like, well, because I'm not the mother, I do not have the physical capabilities to calm you down right now, so I'm doing my best. And then the other thing that I've noticed, and I don't know if this is because pretty much every bottle I've ever given him was in that kind of situation of like, oh no, but Lucy didn't mind colder milk in her bottle. We didn't warm her bottles up at all. I think people gave us some of those bottle warmers, but we just didn't use them. So I'm sorry if you gave us one, but just wound up not being something that made sense for us at the time. And I'm not sure if Jack will be the same way. When I've given him a bottle, he makes this face like, and then almost looks like he's gagging a little bit. And I don't know if that's just because it's cold or because he's not used to drinking from a bottle. But again, like, once it's just us, I will have a much better idea of it. But it's just all these kind of like pop-up times of like, oh geez, he's hungry, we gotta feed him. It's just been a little stressful. But today, and I think yesterday a little bit, he has been in better spirits and just kind of happy. We've gotten some smiles from him, which we're pretty sure aren't gas at this point. I mean, the developmental stuff is going to be tricky with him because he's 7 to 8 weeks off from quote normal because he was born so early. So you're not supposed to think of them in the normal baby timeline. You're supposed to think of them as, you know, 7 to 8 weeks behind that. So, you know, that's a lot of math to do. It's actually not so bad for me because I didn't really pay attention to like the supposed to numbers the first time around, and I don't remember any of them now. So at this point, it's just kind of like, oh, hey, look, he's smiling. That's kind of how I like handling parenting. I mean, if something's concerning, you know, like, oh gosh, they're, you know, this old and they haven't talked or walked or crawled or whatever, then I think it's a good idea to kind of look that stuff up and maybe consult somebody. But when you're just doing normal parenting stuff, like, I don't have the need to constantly ask other people if my kid is in the same zone as their kid or how they're, you know, it's just, I don't know. There's too much comparison, I think, to parenting when it's just like, hey, make the best kid you can and give them the best tools you can to succeed in life. That's pretty much the way I kind of look at it. So I don't get too worried. And I mean, I know he might be a little bit delayed in some areas and he might not be in other areas, but I don't really care. As long as nothing is, you know, inhibitive or anything like that, it's all good in my book. Speaking of books, it seemed like a really good segue that I didn't even plan. My wife and I read our daughter books for bedtime. We call it books and bedtime. She gets 3 books usually, and then we turn out the big light, keep her little light on, and then she goes to bed. Last week I talked about how she's actually getting into some comic books. I read her Tiny Titans and she's into it. We've read that almost every night that she's gone to bed that way. Sometimes she just falls asleep on the couch and I just let it happen because, as I've said before, I don't want to spend hours laying in her room waiting for her to fall asleep. But in this process, you know, she winds up reading certain books more often than others. And then sometimes she'll kind of be looking at her shelves and be like, oh yeah, this one. Or she'll get really hooked on the library books. So I just want to talk about a couple of these that I think are interesting. And this will maybe become a regular thing on the show. The book that kind of befuddles me the most at this point is Give a Mouse a Cookie. Now, this is a book that I remembered the title of. I remembered hearing it, but I hadn't read it. It wasn't a book that I remember from my childhood where I would just, like my daughter, go to the library, get as many books as I could, come back home, read through them all. This is just not one that I remember. I don't know if it's the timing was off, if it came out later, or if I just missed it or what. But, you know, the general idea I knew was that, like, it's basically a whole story about if, you know, give an inch, they take a mile. You know, she's gone back and forth with this book. It's been in heavy rotation. It's fallen out. And then we read it again last night. And the book is kind of infuriating because, like, the message is like, oh, this mouse, you know, if you offer it a cookie, it wants all these things. But, like, if you read that book, what that mouse does is you offered him a cookie, main character, boy, whatever your name is. He offers the mouse a cookie. The mouse accepts your gift and then says, wow, like, I'm thirsty. Can I have some milk? So you give him milk. And then he wants to wash his hands, I think. Then when he's in the mirror, He realizes that he needs a haircut, so he does that. And then he realizes, oh, I made a mess on your floor. I'm sorry. Can I have your broom? And then he doesn't just sweep up that room. He sweeps up all the rooms in your house. And then he mops all the rooms in your house. And then he gets tired and he wants to take a nap. And that's either before or after you read him a story. He likes the pictures in it and he draws an amazing picture. Then he wants to put that on the fridge and needs some scotch tape. Now, I'm reading this book and I'm basically reading the words, just kind of glancing at the pictures. And I'm like, this mouse is like the greatest house guest of all time, right? He accepted your gift. He wanted something to drink. Not a big deal. That's part of the social contract. If you offer someone food, a drink is usually included or assumed. And then he cleans up for you. He swept the house. He mopped the floors. Like, this is the greatest thing ever. And then he draws you this picture. Now, personally, me, as someone who can write but not draw, I would hire this mouse in a minute to draw comics for me. And I would just make him on salary, and that salary would be cookies. And I would give him the best little mouse house he wants, and it would not be a big deal. And then you look at the pictures of this, and, like, the kid is, like, exasperated because he's got to pick the mop-up and the cleaning solution and put it away and then find some tape. Really? Kid, this is the best thing that's ever happened to you. Keep this mouse as long as you can. Give him as many cookies as he wants. Even if it means you don't get cookies, give them to him because he is an amazing asset and you won't have to do chores. Just go outside and play. Give that mouse, like, a bunch of cookies all over the house. So that's, you know, that's my few thoughts on give a mouse a cookie. I'm also kind of befuddled by In the Night Kitchen, but my daughter loves it. The Marie Sendak book has a kid dreaming, and he goes into this weird bread world. There's all these things. Someone told me, or I read online, that there are supposed to be Nazi references in it, I guess because of the ovens. And then there's also potentially, like, young boy hormonal references, which I guess I can see, but if they're there, man, they're pretty oblique. Because I've, you know, we got that book from the library. I read it to Lucy a ton. And I would, like, keep looking at all the different brand names. Because everything in the background is made up of, like, flour bags and other food product things that are supposed to look like buildings. And there's symbols and whatnot on them. And they're like, there is a Star of David and a couple other things. Like, some of the names I don't really know about. But if it is an allegory of any kind, it's a pretty dense one that I don't know if it really works. But if anybody actually knows of any interviews with Sendak about that book or anything along those lines, I'd actually be really interested to read them because I am completely unable to connect with what's going on. From the very idea of everybody making cake, eating cake in the morning, to the kid being in bread and flying. I get that it's a dream and it's weird and that's okay. But, like, the rest of it, I just don't quite understand what's supposed to be happening there. But one of the neat things that getting that book from the library reminded me of was the very first DVD I ever bought with my child in mind. This was before Lucy was born. I don't remember how pregnant Em was at the time, but we were at Marshall's and there's a DVD of animated Maurice Sendak books and stories, and it's got Where the Wild Things Are, and then it ends with In the Night Kitchen. And I remembered that In the Night Kitchen cartoon very vividly just from looking at it, and I knew I had the book or got the book from the library at least, but this cartoon was kind of burned into my memory. And I also remember the Where the Wild Things Are one, and then the one in between is a group of kids and an alligator who do different skits. There's one called, like, one was Johnny and Pierre, I don't care if that's what it's called, and a bunch of other ones. And I remember them, I think, in both formats. I think they were included in Sesame Street episodes back when we were little. And if not that, I believe they might have been included on original old school Nickelodeon when they would have a lot of, like, mini filler type shows that would go on at different times. I know I read about which one it was a while back, and now I can't remember because in the meantime, I did a lot of reading on Wikipedia about original Nintendo programming because I'm trying to find, and this is kind of obviously a tangent, but when I was a kid, I remember seeing the opening of a cartoon. I don't remember what the actual cartoon was about, but the opening of a cartoon where, like, a mad scientist guy put something in this big machine, and it was like, might not even been a machine. It might have been, like, one of those Bunsen burner setups that you used to see in old movies. So, like, he put one thing in the top, and then it just started going through, and you saw test tubes bubbling and beakers and all these things happening. And then, like, one drop came out the bottom, and I want to say, like, it exploded or it turned into something, whatever it was. I remember that opening, and I've got a pretty good memory for what went on and what cartoons from that era, but this is one that I've never been able to identify. So if you know what I'm talking about, if this makes any sense to you, please leave me a comment on poppapa.com in the show notes. It's poppa.com, because it's just been one of those things that forever I couldn't remember, and every time I explain it to somebody, they just kind of look at me blankly. But I do know that I watched a lot of Nickelodeon back in the day, and then USA used to do a pretty solid cartoon lineup back in the day, so it could have been on there too. I can't quite remember, but I do remember seeing this. Anyway, back to the Sendak cartoons. I saw these on one DVD at Marshall's. I got really excited and I bought it, and then it really just sat around for a long time. I did show it to Lucy at one point when she was a lot younger, like 1.5 or 2. And for a while there, she just didn't want to look at anything new. And then once we got the book from the library, I remembered, hey, I've got this DVD. And so I put it in and I played it. And she actually really liked it. She just watched it the other day because we had to take the book back to the library. But because of reading the book and watching the movie so much, she's actually got the entire thing memorized. And much like a song from the Frozen soundtrack, she will just break it out at the drop of a hat when she's like bored or doesn't want to pay attention to us or anything like that, and she can just go. And I'm pretty sure she knows the entire thing, including from the book, the different like sound effects, like thump, bump, thump, whatever. And she remembers the order of them. So if you mess up while you're reading, she will correct you to make sure that you're on the right track, which is kind of funny. So yeah, I guess aside from the crazy growth spurt, things have just kind of been moving along. I mean, I talked about before how I've been trying to kind of refocus how I look at work, and that's been actually going really well. It's a bit of a slow time, but I'm kind of working on a few things that might hopefully lead to more opportunities that actually will pertain to this podcast once I figure out what's going on. But yeah, I mean, we're just kind of keep on keeping on over here. Lucy's doing good. We stay inside a lot. We try to get out when we can, but it's so hot that we don't want to go out in the middle of the day. Her naps have been all over the place. Sometimes she naps, sometimes she doesn't. I think one of the problems that she's been somewhat lethargic and a little bit crankier than normal because she's very demanding and just doesn't seem able to settle down. I think part of the problem is that she's getting up so early and not napping. We're not sure why she's getting up. Em thinks it's the sun coming in her room. So maybe I'll have to put up like an extra sheet to kind of block some more stuff out. Her room already has one of those pull-down blinds, I guess they're called. And then also pink curtains over that. And we really just wanted to make sure that the kid or kids could sleep in there and not wake up. But the way her new bed is positioned, I think it's probably not the best. So maybe I can put like another sheet up or something just to block it and see if we can get her to sleep a little bit longer. Because especially if she's not napping, then she's cranky. She's really, really difficult to deal with. And it's tough because, you know, that puts us in a bad mood if we're already on edge. And we were on edge for a while because Jack was not feeling good at all for so long. So hopefully, you know, we can maybe take care of that little problem and fix things. But the one positive of her not napping is that she goes down much easier at night. But as I've said plenty of times on the podcast, much of my day and completely honestly my sanity depends on her taking a nap in the middle of the day because it gives me a break. Now, Em's home right now. She's working from home and all that. So there's still some backup here. But when it's just me again on my own with the kids, I'm hoping the nap thing doesn't go away completely. I mean, in the fall, she will start going to school, and so we'll be dropping her off, and that might wear her out, which would be fantastic. But I'm hoping that sticks around. One of our friend's kid doesn't nap and hasn't for a while, and that very prospect kind of terrifies me, to be completely honest. I mean, there's a work component to it where I can, once I know the schedule, I can kind of aim for it. Now, Jack is a wild card in that completely. But it also just gives me some quiet time, which will be probably in pretty short supply when it's at least in the early days of just the three of us on our own during the day. So, I mean, it's something that I'm kind of worried about, but it's also something that I'm just like, well, I mean, for one thing, I've done it before. For another, I just kind of know how to deal with it. And once the system gets put in place of like, it makes sense to bring up thing of milk out now, and then he'll be hungry at this point, even if it changes within an extent, and there will always be outliers. As long as there's some kind of system in place, it'll work out really well. So we just need to get in there. Once we're ready, that'll be the thing, and we'll do it, and we'll be fine. And I mean, Lucy starts preschool in like September or whatever, this fall sometime, And so then it'll be, you know, just a couple hours, a few days a week with just me and Jack. And, you know, from there, more things will change. So, yeah, I mean, just kind of seeing what the future holds at this point, kind of waiting and seeing on a lot of things, including the house. We're still digging that house. It dropped in price. As far as we know, nobody else has made an offer on it. Just need a couple more things to line up, and then maybe we can see what we can do. But we still like it. We think it's good. Part of me wonders if it'll happen, just because the timing, since it did drop in price. Something our realtor said initially was that since, you know, a lot of houses were at the higher price that it used to be at, it made sense if someone had that budget to look at the bigger ones, and this one was smaller. But now that it dropped in price, I'm wondering if that kind of put it on more radars. But we'll see. I mean, there's not much we can do about it at this point. I hope it works out, just because I'm really sick of this whole process. And this is a really good house for us. So just kind of waiting and seeing what happens at this point. But aside from that, yeah, everything's going pretty well. The weather's nice. I guess we're officially in summer now, right? Looking forward to getting some summer activities going and, you know, making some plans for the future. We're also getting ourselves on kind of a budget. We aren't like big spenders or anything, but when I was a kid, my mom taught me how to do a budget, and then Em did a bunch of research. And so we're kind of figuring out what we're going to do moving forward. And it'll just be good to kind of keep us on track so that when and if we do get into a house, we can still afford it, because it'll wind up being a little bit more than what we pay now. Plus, you don't really know what like gas is going to be or heating, that kind of stuff. So it's just good to get on one and really stick with it and see how it goes. And I was pretty proud of myself today. I went grocery shopping and actually came in way under. So that's some bonus money. These are the things you get excited about as a parent of two kids trying to get into a house, I guess. So yeah, I think that kind of covers everything that's been going on. Like I said, with Jack being so upset, we were just kind of in survival mode for a while there, and so not much happened. But we're hopefully on the other side of that, at least for the next couple months, weeks, I don't know, and doing a lot better kind of all around. So with that, I'm going to sign off. Before I do that, I'm going to plug a bunch of stuff. You can check out the show notes for this episode on poppapa.com. It's poppapa.com. Over there, you can find links to like the books I talked about and a few other things. If you're interested in buying any of them, there will be links to Amazon. You get like a little kickback if you do buy something on there. I also have United Monkey, that's MONKEE.com, where I blog about pop culture. You can head on over there. I will be doing movie reviews and comic reviews and things along those lines. I've recently decided to try and watch more of my favorite movies, because for a very long time, kind of post-college till now, so 9 years basically, I just wanted to absorb like as much new stuff as possible. I mean, I had my favorites and I would occasionally go back and watch those, but I'm kind of looking forward to going back and looking at some of the movies that were like really influential on me and kind of changed how I thought about storytelling, like Reservoir Dogs and Usual Suspects, and then just other favorites from when I was even younger. I mean, like the amount that I love Wayne's World and how important it was to my group of friends is kind of ridiculous, but it is true. And I just, you know, I'll be writing about that this week and stuff like that. So hopefully I get into some of that and kind of write about it. Because the other thing that I realize is that I reference all these movies that I love. Even on last week's podcast, I talked about Goonies, and I've watched it a few times in the past year or two, and I just never blogged about it. I think I just always assumed that I have, but for a lot of these really influential, really great movies, I haven't actually put my thoughts down on the blog. And I've said this a few times, but the blog is a great kind of backup memory. It not only helps me remember what I have and haven't seen, but it kind of reminds me of what I thought about it. And if I'm constantly referring to something, I think it would be good to have my actual thoughts about it on there too, so it kind of moves back and forth a little bit better. I'm also doing my best to update monkeyingaroundthekitchen.com. There's no spaces in that, and everything's spelled normally. That's where I write about the meals I've cooked and the food I've eaten out and about, and I am always on Twitter at Papadich. That's P-O-P-P-A-D-I-E-T-S-C-H. All right, gang, have a good one.